2019, October time, my back started hurting, which was odd for me. I spent my life doing martial arts and powerlifting. I had 3 months off, tried to get fit to come back, and then the pandemic hit on the day that I was booking fit, and I was told, if you've got a specific condition, you can't come back to work. My GP practice said I'd got stage 3 kidney disease. I shielded, stayed at home, only to find out about a year later that the GP surgery had made a slight mistake and I didn't have stage 3 kidney disease.
No, you're joking.
No.
Marty Hewlett is a former paramedic whose lockdown podcast for people with anxiety became a global sensation with millions of downloads.
The day I left, I actually cancelled my professional registration as a paramedic, so there was no going back to work private sector. And I realised I have imposter syndrome, and I think it...
Welcome.
Hi, Alex. Thanks. Wow. I'm almost blushing.
Well, the Google one's a good one to add, eh? That's a new one. That's the last month or so, yeah?
Yeah, that was fantastic. And... and it was picked up by the local press in Devon. And I think if I ever had to have a poster on the wall, it'd be that front page because it's the most beautiful write-up. If I could have written it myself, it would have been that.
Perfect.
So, yeah, it's been an amazing year. Complete dichotomy from the previous year when my whole world fell apart and I lost everything. Or I thought I had.
Mm.
But there you go. A lot of good support from people. The show, the podcast kept me going as well.
Yeah.
Because when you produce a daily podcast of positivity, it's difficult to feel sorry for yourself for too long.
Must be. And look, I'd like to start with trying to find out, when did you know as a paramedic working in the NHS that your time was coming to an end there?
There was a definitive date. It was a slow process. So... 2019, October time, my back started hurting, which was odd for me. I spent my life doing martial arts and powerlifting. I struggled through to, very specifically, halfway through Boxing Day shift, and it just went. I had 3 months off, tried to get fit to come back, and then the pandemic hit on the day that I was booking fit, and I was told, if you've got a specific condition, you can't come back to work. And... my GP practice said I'd got stage 3 kidney disease. So I shielded, stayed at home, grew the podcast, homeschooled the stepkids I had at the time, only to find out about a year later that the GP surgery had made a slight mistake and I didn't have stage 3 kidney disease.
No, you're joking.
No. Kind of happy about that.
Yeah.
I mean, not for the medical reason, but just like, well, thank you very much. You know, there was no guilt to have been had. Then tried going back to work, and there was a specific incident where I was what we call third manning on my phased return, and I realised this wasn't my place to be. The culture had changed. I had changed. And that was my very last shift. I did a stint down in what we call corporate HQ, but I'm... I was like a caged animal. And it reminded me of when I was a teen and in my early 20s when I was working as a software engineer. And I gave that up. I was like, I can't do this. Mm. Things escalated and we parted company. I think that's the politest way to say it.
Okay.
And so last year, August the 10th, 23, I went full-time as a hypnotherapist and podcaster. Much to my amazement that at 59, I've been so fired up to start a new career as an influencer, as my kids say. I still can't get over it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So, that was it. The day I left, I actually cancelled my professional registration as a paramedic. So there was no going back to work private sector. Mm. I was like, no, let's gonna make this work. And whereas the podcast is a success in its own right, I realise I've been shielded for over 20 years within the NHS. I know nothing about business. Yeah. Zero. But it's quite a step to then admit that, especially as an old bloke, and seek out help. and be very open and honest to people that you want to mentor you. So, yeah.
And tell me about your time as a paramedic. I was just talking with you off air before. Friend of mine ended up moving from aviation into the NHS and working as a paramedic during lockdown, and I think he struggled mentally with quite a bit of it, and in the end, after about 3 years, I think he came back out and went back into aviation once aviation has opened up and started recruiting again. But you know, all sorts of stories of, you know, people throwing bricks at ambulances and like trouble with fire brigades and police and all sorts of crazy stories.
Where was he working?
Up in Newcastle, yeah.
All right.
Up there, in a more urbane.
No, I was in rural North Devon.
Yeah.
But busy. So I always said for 22 years, I never did a day's work. I was born to be a paramedic. It suits my eclectic personality of being challenged, not knowing what you're going to do from one hour to the next. A massive scope of practice. And those bad jobs that everyone asks you about when you're out socializing, I don't have that chip where I'm affected. Mm-hmm. I'm just purely result-focused, driven to be the best that I can be for that person at that time.
Yeah.
Never had a night's loss of sleep because of anything I saw or did. I loved it. I would miss it if it was the old job, but it's not now. But I have no regrets about my time in there.
That's great.
I loved it.
No regrets.
Yeah.
And to have loved it and never to have worked a day.
No.
And I would say it's the same with podcasting.
Oh, it's better.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a boss. I produce what I want. Whatever I produce is not wrong. And also, it allows me to embrace my creative flair, which obviously you can't do as a paramedic. You know, you're driven by protocols and guidelines. I love what I do. I just, the thought of that I've now created a show which has created its own brand, I wake up and pinch myself. I'm really humble about it. I've got a good, close-knit group of friends that keep me grounded. I can't swear, but they call me certain names if ever I mention it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll slap me every time I mention the fact that I went to Google.
but look, I mean, I remember going to the same talk as you. We bumped into each other serendipitously at the podcast show in London in 2023, and we were there listening to a talk by the team behind two different podcasts, team behind Fern Cotton's Happy Place and the team behind High Performance Podcast.
Yeah.
Again, by a strange quirk of fate, last week, I met the guy whose talk we listened to from the High Performance Podcast, a guy called Will, who's the CCO of High Performance. He was recording in the same studio that I was. And I actually kept looking at him during the day, and he was like busy and meeting, you know, like meeting rooms there. And then towards the end of the day, I thought, I'm just going to stick my head in and tell him. And I literally put my head in and I literally said to him, just wanted to let you know, I heard your talk at the podcast show last year. Yeah. And it was the first time that I've then ever taken a break in my podcast of 7 years. It gave me that much food for thought that I was like, I actually need to take stock and take a break and come back stronger. And I just thought it was really important for me to say that to him. And one of the things I think, you know, numbers-wise that's amazes me again is like the Fern Cotton Show was talking about this is what it takes to get 100 million download podcast. You're getting up to 10 million downloads in a handful of years.
Yeah. It does hit home at times. And then I just brush it off because it's just me at home in my little home studio in North Devon. I walk out of the house. I go to the gym. The friends I have there are just my local friends. I have no concept of the success that others perceive the show to have. I'm driven by success, and I want that 10 million purely because then I'll go, I want 10 to 20 million. It's like the podcast, which is now on YouTube, as we were talked about earlier, that's broached 17,500 subscribers, but I won't be happy till it's at 100,000.
Yep.
And it's not because I want the money or the fame. I just like achieving.
Yeah.
It's like in my sport, in my martial arts, I'm at almost the very top. The next grade I don't have to do, I just have to work for the international group to get that ninth degree. Mm-hmm.
And that's what, black belt?
I'm an eighth down black belt at the moment.
Okay. And what does podcast success look like for you? Is it a number or is it something else?
Yeah, no, it's a number. I'd like to beat Fern Cotton. I'd like to beat Huberman.
And that's a challenge, Huberman. Wow.
Well, yeah, I was looking at the stats last night where he is. He's only slightly beating me. In the Spotify UK health and fitness charts this week, again, he's at number one. He's very greedy. He's always there.
Yeah.
And I'm at number 50. I have once climbed, I think I got up to number 4 in the Apple ones in the UK once, but I got a shout out on Chris Evans' breakfast show.
My favourite radio show. Listen to it every morning.
Yeah, I'd messaged him this morning to see if I could get on there, come on the radio.
Yeah.
I do it every week.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
And you got a shout out once.
I got a shout out. And you know, Sir Eddie Temple Morris has gone over to Anthems. He shouts out my show all the time.
Oh, amazing.
I write to him most weeks because it is that you get your name in front of people, just infect them slightly.
Yeah.
And it becomes a thing.
Go on.
I've learnt now to embrace talking about the show. Mm-hmm. Hence, obviously, everyone wears their brand on their sleeve. But on the back of all of my tops, it's got my YouTube URL. When I was out in the States, did I mention I went to Google? But when I was out there, I picked up two clients, one at the top of the Empire State. I overheard these two women, English accent, and one of them was absolutely bricking herself. She was scared of heights. So I went over, talked to her, calmed her down, gave her my card.
Right. Got back in touch.
Amazing.
You said English?
Yeah.
The thing that's, tell me if this is true, but that I read about your podcast is that the biggest demographic that listen and or watch your show are American females aged 20 to mid 30s.
Yeah, that is about 80% of
80%. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So my female friends take the mick out of me.
Of course.
I get fan mail, which is beautiful, but I'm again mindful that I'm helping people. It's obviously a core trait. It's why I was a paramedic. It's why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. My background as a youngster was fairly troubled, and I was in a secure psych unit at 14.
14?
Yeah. Spent 6 months in that. And so now that I've learned how to be peaceful and mindful, and so we touched on the fact I do martial arts. Every now and then I go back to these events, and I was at one at the weekend. And people who've known me over the 30, 40 years I've been doing it are absolutely gobsmacked at the change I've made in myself. Mm-hmm. I used to be a very angry, reactionary person.
Is that from as a teenager?
As a teenager, as a person.
Me too. Okay, interesting.
And now...
Go on.
I am the polar opposite. And that's what the show's done.
Okay.
So I practice what I preach every day because I record 10 minutes of guided meditation.
Yeah.
I close my eyes and the listeners aren't being guided. They're joining with me. Thank you, podcasting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, everybody who listens to my show knows, you know, what I say about it. And for me, it's been the greatest thing that I've ever done. It's been the people that I've met and the opportunities that have come through the people that I've met. And it's those comments, those emails that you get. And sometimes you might not know how to help that person. Like I've got, you know, like a teenage boy, you know, writing in and asking my career's advice. And you're like, I don't feel qualified to do that. But this is my opinion, you know, and that's all you can give. Interesting. So what made you an angry teenager then?
A culmination of who I am as a person and the background that I grew up in, being mindful that certain people are still alive and might listen to this.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
You know, just a product of circumstance. Mm. But I always remember when I left that unit, this American mental health nurse said, and this is fairly powerful, and it still goes for everyone I meet, you can choose to carry that trauma with you tomorrow, the next day, for the rest of your life. Or you can choose to think, I'm alive, I've had a crap time up till now, but I choose tomorrow to wake up and do something positive.
Yeah.
And I say that to all of my hypnotherapy clients.
I bet. Yeah.
You know, life isn't fair. Animals don't have it good. We are so sort of wrapped up in comfort and safety in a first world country. I think we forget the fact that life is really difficult. And just be thankful.
Yeah.
And I don't always have it good. And I still slide down and I still fall off the wagon or have a day where I sit in that studio and record nothing. But I am no longer angry about it. I realize, you know, I have an eclectic personality trait, which working with people sometimes is difficult. So being a solopreneur is rather wonderful. The only person I can get angry with is myself. And I refuse to do that anymore.
Right.
So
what do you do as a coping mechanism then if you feel that you're getting angry?
I don't get angry.
Okay.
I suppose subconsciously I avoid any triggers to get angry.
Yeah.
I drive more mindfully now. I have to drive very mindfully in my local area because I bought a private registration which exactly says what I do for a living. But then it's all advertising. And if I can't control it, then how can I expect my clients and my patients to get better?
Yeah. And when did you, was it 2018 that you first discovered hypnotherapy?
About 17, 18. I think I qualified in 2018. So I had this amazing breakdown about 8-9 years ago whilst on duty. I'll discuss that one off camera later because it's quite funny.
Okay.
And they sent me for this therapy. And it was called Rewind Therapy. It was developed for the military for PTSD.
Yeah.
If they had called it hypnotherapy, I probably wouldn't have engaged. And I remember sitting there in front of this woman, Kathy, who saved my life, is credited with everything I now do. And I remember as I sat there listening to her with my eyes closed, part of my mind thinking, this is stupid. But I walked out of that session, stopped in the middle of a car park, and suddenly that negative vitriolic diatribe in my head that had been there all my life was gone. No matter what I was doing, getting married, delivering a baby, resuscing someone successfully, the top of my head, it was like, you're a failure, you're useless. That constant. And she changed it. She just got rid of it.
One session or?
One session.
Whoa.
Well, yeah, no, really. I'm like, OMG. And I knew I had to learn this. It would be a brilliant skill as a paramedic.
Yeah.
So
that's the reason you did it first, where you thought it'd be a string to your bow.
But you'd be a string. Also, I thought the other reason was I'd lost the house and half my pension in a divorce. Amicable divorce, really can't stress. Do your best. Stay in touch with your ex as long as no one's cheated. And my ex-wife saved my life a year and a half ago. We are rock solid as good friends. She's got a lovely new partner. I always like to get that in. So I thought if I became a hypnotherapist once I've retired, it would give me a little bit of extra money. That's why I did it. But okay. The power of doing a hypnotherapy course is, as a hypnotherapist, you become aware of the words you use when you meet a new client, when they reach out in email or text, or when you speak to people. And you stop using no's and don'ts. So when I was meeting patients as a paramedic, rather than going in to, say, a 40-year-old male with chest pain, classic would be you'd go in and you'd go, right, how bad's your pain? Well, you've just reinforced something or put into his mind something he hasn't got.
Mm.
someone else has phoned in, the call taker has just typed it, and you've got that on your screen. And I would then go in and say, tell me how you're feeling. Why am I here today? Empower the client that you're with to give them your story and connect. And more importantly than that, listen, repeat what they're saying. And in the end, I was teaching all my colleagues, don't use the P word. I don't use the word pain. Tell me what that feeling's like. And then you start using it yourself. You stop looking at the world through a negative lens. I'd say all the hypnotherapists I meet, we are generally far happier than other people because you become mindful of your own internal dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's transformative. And my tutor, he gave me that book, Key Person of Influence, whose author's name I always forget.
That's not Daniel Priestley.
That's the one.
I'm interviewing Daniel.
All right. Yeah. I met him. Where was he? Oh, he was on that app that everyone used to jump into.
Clubhouse. That's where I met him.
Yeah. So I met him. I was talking about it. He goes, I wrote that. I go, you changed my life and that of everyone else. Because in it, there's one key word, one key sentence that changed everything about who I am. Give something away to your client base for free. And that's when calming anxiety started. I did 6 meditation sessions on my YouTube channel. I then listened to a guy called Pat Flynn who runs...
I've interviewed Pat Flynn. Great guy.
He's interviewed me.
Brilliant.
Yeah. On Ask Pat 2.0. Yeah, okay. Small world, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And I'm part of his SBI.
Podcasting. That's
that is podcasting.
Is.
Yeah. I listened to him. I set up the podcast. And as we all say, the rest is history.
And that was giving something away for free.
Just giving it away for free.
Yeah, advice.
And I just happened to click that box for advertising revenue. I had no concept how that would change. And I remember going to work after the first show was released and I was on the Spreaker app and I'd earned 7 cents. And I was telling all my colleagues, look, I've earned 7 cents.
Yeah.
And rightly so, they all took the mick. This time last year, just on pre and post rolled ads, it brought in $3,500. In a month, and I'm like, ooh. I did base my financial decision to sort of not worry about work at that point, and it has dropped significantly.
But then you balance that up in other ways.
So my podcast is my lead magnet for...
Yeah.
And I say this to everyone, especially in the therapy space, run a podcast. Any business needs one because it's all searchable on SEO, on Google, on YouTube. It's free. It pays money. I've become a Prime member. So Spreaker, my host, offered me their Prime membership. So they pay me to be on their site. And then people can book private one-on-one hypnotherapy sessions through the show notes, through my Calendly link, all paid for.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
What's not to like about this?
I know. And yet I still don't view myself as an entrepreneur with a business that has charted in 154 countries. And I look at, sometimes I do look at the stats and I'm like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, that gets addictive.
Every morning, it's the first thing I do.
Yeah, it's addictive, man.
Yeah.
I'm interested to explore then, you're not considering yourself an entrepreneur. And before that, you'd said you don't consider yourself a success.
Mm.
That voice that you had in your head before you saw the hypnotherapist, knowing what you now know, where did that voice come from and why did it become so, I guess, overpowering in your head?
Okay, it was my dad. I only appreciated it after my father had died, that he had probably... had PTSD. He had us late. He was a career soldier. He was in a military kids' school from the age of 7. To put it into context of how old he was from us, he was in the Desert Rats. He got the Italian Medal campaign. So he was in the army in the Second World War.
Yeah.
And then his career was as bomb disposal. I mean, there's going to be a bit of PTSD. He wasn't a family chap. He wasn't a warm He didn't have friends.
Yeah.
But he was a high achiever. So he was in the army swimming team. He was a big guy, and I'm not. So he was like 6'4", 19 stone.
Wow.
Big, yeah. Tough bloke. And I was the runt of the litter. So, yeah, not a lot of paternal.
That runt of the litter in your head or made abundantly clear?
No,
to
my
or?
Brother's like 6'2". My right. Sons are like 6 foot. And for the record, I'm 5'7" and shrinking. All right. So I realise those issues are my issues. You know, I have a height complex and I realise I have imposter syndrome. And I think it's a benefit for me because I despise arrogance, so it checks me. So although I don't view myself as an entrepreneur or a business person or a success, I cannot deny that I am all of those things.
Yes, I like that. Okay. Right.
I am aware of the dichotomy that I face. Everyone around me in business empowers me and goes, you've got the most amazing product.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I've had amazing results. And I do sometimes listen to my shows. I hardly ever edit them. They're done in one take. Mm. They just go up. Everything's set. But sometimes when I listen to them, I actually think, oh, that's good. But then I'm recording it for me. You know, they are from the heart.
That's the best way then, isn't
They're
it?
They're not scripted.
Are they not? So, no. I mean, I should probably tell everybody, after I met you, I started listening to your podcast, and I listened to it a lot, and I've shared it with my wife and stuff, and I go, he has the most ridiculously, he puts me to sleep. You know, which is probably not the purpose, but ultimately, if you can calm somebody down that much from a ridiculously, you know, busy, hectic, stressful day, that you put them in the mindset that they can relax enough into themselves, then that's got to be a good thing.
So I come up with the title.
Okay. So, yeah, talk us through your creative process then. That's interesting.
So obviously, it's a daily show. It's a guided meditation with an affirmation. I'll brainstorm 30 affirmations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go through all the regular ones, but, you know, I've now got almost 1,500.
Wow.
And I'll brainstorm for an hour. So when I'm firing on all cylinders with, and it always varies with my mind, I can write all that work. They go into a Google spreadsheet. And then when I have a good day of recording, I just copy the title into a text file on the screen, massive, fire up Ableton and press record, close my eyes, and then just do it.
You close your eyes and you've just got the affirmation in your...
Yeah, in my mind.
Oh, my God, I just assumed you're reading from a script.
No.
Which is really difficult to do anyway, reading something like that from a script. Yeah.
And then at the end of 10 minutes.
Yeah. Styling.
So on the YouTube chat, when I decided to put them on YouTube as well, that's when I had to do them all live to camera, because editing video takes too much time.
If you're
recording as much as I am.
Yeah.
So all of those shows, and they stopped in November when, for the first time in years, I got a chest infection and had to cough. So each show would take a day to record.
Oh, my God.
But that was my fault for not having batched up enough.
Yeah.
But I was going through a bit of stress at the time. But now the audio ones are back. I've taken a break off YouTube over the last month. Google, in their wisdom, YouTube Music are stopping the podcasting. So I'm losing about 8,000 subscribers. And they're saying, oh, you can put the RSS feed over to YouTube. But it looks rubbish.
Say that again, then. What are they losing?
So Google Podcasts on YouTube Music ends later this year.
Yes, correct. All right? Okay. Yeah,
but you can
yeah.
put that onto your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't look good.
Okay.
All right. And I don't think the public want to consume podcasts that way. But that's my view. So I'm going to go back to them being live scripted in front of a camera again.
Are you?
And also, it just trains you to talk. So when we talk, as a hypnotherapist and then as a podcaster who's learning to listen to what I'm about to say in advance, you quit saying, you allow the natural break. You don't have to make a sound. I'm waiting for you to interject and talk back to me.
I like that. Instead of literally,
yeah,
just let it.
Yeah, I my guilty pleasure in life are American politics, and I was watching this presentation in a courtroom recently, and the woman speaking, she's an attorney, and everything she said in one sentence, she used five times. That just drives me to distraction. Slow down. Get your point across.
Yeah.
But I digress. Yes, all of my shows, unscripted, and everything is from the soul. It's as if everyone is just in a room with me, and let's do a group meditation.
And what made you decide to pick the topic of anxiety, for example, to get started?
Having lived with it.
Yeah.
I don't... Actually, when I qualified as a hypnotherapist, because my background is martial arts, I thought I'd do sports performance hypnotherapy. I thought I'd niche into that.
Yeah.
But life took a turn sideways. Wondering if I want to actually go down that road. Work got difficult, and the partner I was with decided to up sticks. And that's as much as I'll say on that one.
Okay. And she saved your life, you said?
No, not that one. No. Okay. Oh, no. No, my ex-wife happened to be visiting from Sussex. Comes back every month to see the boys. And we always go out for a drink. We've got all that history and we like to share it. Yeah. I'd been a house husband for 9 years. I brought my two sons up. And we like to talk about it. And her new partner, bizarrely, was one of my friends out in Germany in 1984. They met on a dating app.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He doesn't deserve that. Oh, Jack. So, yeah, my ex-wife just happened to be passing when I was at my utmost lowest. And I'd done something. I'd broken mentally and done something very silly. And she saved me.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was very angry that work had pushed me to that level.
Okay.
And that their boys may have lost their dad.
Wow. So when it came to that moment of deciding whether you're going to stay as a paramedic or not, your decision to be made for you?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Mm. I sadly saw the other side of the coin with the NHS. Not the side where you're out on the road looking after people and basically you're autonomous.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I saw corporate structure. But that's all in the past. And it's given me exactly what I need, where I am now, to grow my brand purely out of a podcast. And as we said before, so from the 1st of April, I will actually start trading as Calming Anxiety Limited.
And what is the vision that you have now for Calming Anxiety? have you reframed that over the last
I've always been... I have high ambitions, and I think the only thing that holds us back, again, listeners will go, well, that doesn't make sense, is a lack of self-belief. Mm-hmm. I believe with the right understanding, the right education from those around me who can empower me and uplift me, if I'm humble enough to listen and take it on board, I have my app, which is Calming Anxiety. Again, that's an amazing story how that came about. Purely from helping someone I didn't realize I'd helped. I would like to challenge Calm and Headspace in that market.
Yeah.
And I appreciate how big they are. I mean, Calm 2 years ago was valued at $1 billion.
I was about to say to you, are they 9 or 10 figure?
they are.
Both of them have got to be 9 figure or 10 figure. Yeah. Wow.
My app is comparable. But it comes from a place of care and empathy rather than from a very carefully orchestrated business plan.
Okay.
I've seen the guy who runs it. Amazing. But he's a business person. Mm-hmm. I'm a person who's been there, got the badge, and feels he understands anxiety and mental health. And also, as I say to clients, when they come to see me, most people think, oh, hypnotherapy, it'll just be, it's a magic switch. No, I can make people stop having their phobia in one go, but that's just covering it up. It's not getting to the core of it. And to find your true self and get past all those negative blocks, those negative anchors, and the negativity of your past imposed on you by other people's words and actions. It's training your mind to think differently. And it's no different to wanting to be able to do a park 5K or a marathon. You have to work at it.
Yeah.
Which is why I ask my clients, my audience, listen every day until you think positively without thinking. Until those old phobias, those old OCD moments. So I used to be really OCD about pictures being hung straight.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I went into a cottage once with a crewmate, and she just, you could see her walk in front and her shoulders sunk, and she just went, oh God. Every square inch of this house was covered in picture frames.
And she knew you very well.
And they were all wrong.
Right.
And I spent half an hour. It wasn't an emergency job. It was a social job, so the patient was safe, just in case anyone wants to get uppity about it. However, now I would look at that and smile. And that's where I like my listeners, my audience, my clients to be. You will always have those core triggers, but they won't affect you negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where were we on that?
That your vision.
Yeah, is to just help people have a happier, their world. We can't change the big world, although I do think if everyone shared the show every day to two people, we would spread that kindness virus around the world.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
So I do ask at the end of every show, please share this. And every show ends with just simple two things. To yourself, be kind. If you empower your close circle of friends, your family, your work colleagues, just to be slightly kinder and nicer to you, to themselves, and to whoever they interact with, just...
Yeah,
I have no time for negativity anymore.
Mm.
Wow, podcasting. That guy, key person of influence. And he needs to take credit for this as well. Mm. And it's that butterfly effect. It's like Chris Evans years ago during lockdown. He shouted out the show and it escalated.
Yeah.
All of that matters.
It's funny, isn't it? Like how it's all interconnected. I didn't know what you've just told me about Daniel Priestley. Mm. I've literally, as I say, communicated. He was meant to be on my podcast in December, cancelled because he was ill. He's since gone on to Diary of a CEO and got like a million views just from that one podcast. I've been liaising to get him back on my show. And this morning, before you arrived, I replied to an email from his PA, Susie. Yeah. Shout out to Susie from Dent Global.
Yeah.
About these are the next dates I'm in London. Do either of these work? It's just crazy, isn't it?
Well, let him know when you interview him.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Yeah.
Because it is those small moments. It's like when we met at the podcast convention, you were first in queue, I was second, and I just, that little negative four-year-old inside of me is like, be quiet. And I go, no, you didn't come all this way to be quiet. Just talk.
Yeah.
Best thing ever did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's coming up this year. Because I'm sure somebody like Daniel, far more qualified than me to go, but if you're up against like Headspace and Calm and you have what you have and you have, you know, just the numbers and the reach that you have, it's like, how could you not, you know, it's not even a David versus Goliath, because if you look at it just from the outside looking in, you would think you've got a good shot at really scaling even more what you do.
That's for me, I've got to make a decision on how much I can market into advertising the app, because the market space is fairly saturated, but my app is all built around, as everyone says, you get it. People write their comments, their reviews are, for the first time ever, I listened to someone who got what I'm going through.
Mm.
Because I've been there. So it's just me. There's no paid actors reading a book and you're like drawn to it because they're famous.
And what does it say about the world we live in that market is saturated around anxiety and mental health?
Yeah. So it is sad. although it's a bonus for me that I've picked the right market to be into.
A growing market.
A very growing market.
But yeah.
But the app came about and the brand. I used to have one of those Microsoft Windows little logo generator things. And this guy reached out to me who had heard the show, who it had saved, and he runs a web design firm. And as a way of paying back, he'd like to redo my logo.
Right.
And they sent 13 different drafts down. And the logo I have now, I'm like, oh, wow, that's... It's like he'd reached into my soul, or as the woman who designed it had. It was perfect.
Hmm.
And they rebranded it. And I was just like, I was so thankful. It gave me that professional image. And then about a year later, they bought in an app design team and he wanted to see how they would integrate within his business. And his idea was my show needed an app.
Right, I see.
And they built the app for free.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, he takes the Apple profit and I take the Android profit.
Yeah.
And it's 90% on Apple. But I don't begrudge it at all because, you know, shout out to Chris Gilchrist. Because he's given me this extra gravitas within, you know, everyone says, well, you need a book.
Yeah.
Look at the app. The app's beautiful. Mm. It is just a thing of joy.
Yeah.
And download it. It's on Android and iOS and pay for the £5 a month to have it advert free. It's wonderful. and it's got so much in it. And I just think with the right push, the right marketing nuance, it will get out there. And then later this year, my first physical product as well, all off the back of a podcast. Something I can't allude to because there isn't this on the market.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. I will, makes sense.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, please do.
I was trying to code it. I'm really careful. It needed a bit of coding. Mm. And then again, I used Google Gemini. And I just typed into Google Gemini, could you code this in this language to do this? It did it. Now, my background's coding. It would have taken me a week, but this thing did it, and it did it even better than I wanted it to. It's just insane.
That is.
So,
let's talk insights, reflecting back. What was the one thing that you think you needed to say, screw it, just do it, and get from where you were as a paramedic in the NHS to where you are today with Coming Anxiety brand?
Yeah.
Coming up to 10 million plus downloads, 150 plus countries. What's the one thing?
Again, let's go back to Pat Flynn. I've got his book, Let Go.
Yep.
All right. I should have let go long time ago. But I was looking after my previous partner and her two stepkids. I was massively the main breadwinner and I was scared. Being kicked out of the NHS in hindsight was the best thing ever.
Mm.
Yeah, I needed that. I probably would have been too scared to do it, even though I was unhappy now doing something I detested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just needed to be kicked out and believe in myself.
I was going
to
say, was it self-belief? Okay.
It really was.
Yeah.
And it's the worry of, will I have enough money? I've recently bought sort of a camper van, a long wheelbase Mercedes. I mean, if push came to shove, yeah. I've built my own mobile recording studio in there.
Yeah. Oh, so in there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So I can go away with my dog and we could spend a week, 2 weeks away and I could stay on top of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. You might have answered the next question then. What was the one action you needed to take that... the big domino, that if you hadn't knocked that domino over, you wouldn't have knocked over any of the other dominoes?
I think I would have left anyway. Okay. I think I was really struggling to go into an office where you just sit there for 12 hours. And I understand why we have to speak calmly and understandingly to certain people in society. But I think we've become too placid, and I'm really choosing my words carefully.
I thought you were.
We could be so much more, especially within the NHS. if we just made people take responsibility for themselves. Mm. But that's then.
Yeah.
Now I'm helping people take responsibility for themselves.
Mm. How would you like to be best remembered for your contribution in the space that you're in at the moment, when all is said and done?
He made a change and he cared.
Love it.
I would like to take what I do into schools to get to the 14, 15, 16 year olds now and teach them how to think differently. I teach all my clients, I try to teach all my friends when they moan about the most obviously inconsequential things, that you have a negative in your life, stop now and think of two positives, no matter how small or insignificant. Mm-hmm. Whatever they are, think about the positives. So when I was hurting 18 months ago, my ex-wife bought me a book by a well-known hypnotherapist, and it was all about reframing. And although I do that within my scope of practice, this really gave you very specific things to do. So I would like to teach our youth how to do that, so they don't go through life thinking, oh, that's unfair. Oh, no one cares.
Yeah.
Right? Empower yourself.
Yeah.
No one else is going to rise you up. Look at the people who are successful. They believed in themselves. They didn't think life owed them a living. You can succeed. It might take a long time, like me. I would like to be that Colonel Sanders thing. I would like people to say, my God, at 60, this guy started this business. Wow, look how big it's got.
Yeah, wasn't he like 70-something?
62.
Was he?
He had developed KFC before that age.
Yeah.
And he tried to sell his products to other people and they didn't want to know. So he then founded that business.
I see, at 62.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was his. I knew he was older. That's amazing.
So
no, that's a noble thing to want to do. I've got two teenage daughters and it's... You know, yeah, I don't need to say anymore, I think, really. But, yeah. It's tough. And I also see it's tough for them, and also being, products of growing up during lockdown and to have your social life on like FaceTime instead of actually going out and seeing people and meeting people. And it's another world for you where you just call around, knock on someone's door and go down the park and kick a football around,
It is totally
so different. Yeah.
So this non-profit in the States, Digital for Good, they're already doing what I'd envisaged that the business would do in the UK. So we'll be having talks about probably bringing their brand, because they're already established.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make that a global movement.
Digital for Good, okay.
Yeah. They empower so many kids to be more than they are. And I'd always had a problem over making profit of helping other people. But April Garcia and the cohort that I was with there at the Pivot Me Academy, they came up with a plan. They said, well, if I gave 51% of my gross profit when I'm earning a profit, because I'm eating into my pension quite quickly at the moment, if I did that into charitable work to helping to empower mental health for youths in North Devon, I could do it. So that's another, that would be a legacy I'd like to leave behind.
Are they UK-wide?
No, Digital for Good are purely US at the moment.
Purely US.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So I am hoping, if I have the time and if it works out, that we could start that in North Devon, spread it throughout the Southwest Peninsula.
Mm.
That, yes.
Love it. Final couple of questions for you, Martin. Are you currently where you want to be?
Oh, yeah. I am so... Yes, apart from financially, right? Yes, it's got great success, but I've not monetized it. I've not got on board brands that align with my ethos to help carry the show and then empower their brand as well. And as a growing business purely for hypnotherapy, I need to market a bit more.
Yeah.
But it is online that I see the work that I can carry forward.
I was going to say, because those non-competing but complementary brands have got to be out there, given that the market a growing market and is saturated in that space,
yeah,
that those brands have to be out there. But then it's just the case, as I know my own experience, my podcast over 7 years, it's having that time to actually make those connections,
yeah,
and you know, foster those connections ultimately,
yeah,
to get so, there.
Because my main audience is in the States, and yeah, it's a demographic I don't actually understand,
mm,
although I researched it. So people say, well, how did your show grow so quickly organically? Within the Spreaker system, you can tag your show with 20 different words. And I would research what was trending, what was affecting the mental health of women that age. When I started to see the demographics come in, I was like,
yeah,
well, I thought it would be going for old blokes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw,
yeah,
them listening. I would then put 10 tags are always constant, and 10 okay tags would rotate over what may be affecting them. Mm. I think that had a massive impact.
Interesting, isn't it? Because I've looked at my stats. Again, I just assumed, you know, with my podcast that it would be males age, you know, 45 to 55, yeah, and looked at it, and it's 99% male, but they're from teenagers up to like mid-30s.
Yeah.
And interestingly, with YouTube, it's more US than UK, which, yeah, again, you're like, well, where are they coming from? How are they finding it? And it's a whole other conversation, but it's very surprising, isn't it? And I think for those who are podcasters or have video channels or whatever, it's really interesting to look at the stats and kind of find, yeah, out who your audience is, well, and then ask them.
My biggest growing market is India.
Is it?
Yeah. So I'm looking at the trends there.
Mm.
Because it's three times larger than the US, and predominantly they all want to speak English.
Yeah.
Right?
Three times?
Yeah. We've got 1.2 billion people.
Yeah.
And it was 350 million, yeah, something like, yeah, that in the US.
Three times. See, I've never thought of it framed like that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, knew the separate numbers.
Massive. When the podcast had hit like 1.5 million downloads via the Clubhouse app, I was invited onto an Indian business guru's webinar early one morning. I remember padding into my studio at 5 a.m. I put a t-shirt on. I was still in like boxer shorts, thinking it was just going to be me and him and maybe a few other people. There were 250 people on this live webinar. And he introduced me as this podcast sensation. Like, oh, wow. And I saw my stats bump up instantly.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, very
so,
cool.
Yeah, it'd be worth looking at.
Mm.
It's a good market, and it's a very entrepreneurial sort of demographic.
Yes, it is. It is. 100%.
They've got a good high, yeah, work ethic out there. Mm.
Last question for you. Any advice you would give somebody who wants to get from where they currently are to where they want to be? What's the best piece of advice you could give somebody?
Structure, organization, stick to it. The hardest thing I found when leaving the NHS was structure. So I gave myself a workflow Monday to Friday, including gym time, including time out, so that you're not constantly working 18-hour days, which I'd been guilty of many, many years ago. And set small plans. My Google Calendar is set with small tasks that I have to achieve. Monday mornings, 9 o'clock, 1 hour, do the accounts. Just do them. Just because if you focus on those small things, it becomes a habit, yep, and you feel that you've accomplished something. It's that old US Admiral's thing of make your bed when you get up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is so important. Mm. And within the show as well, I always say for those struggling, going through the darkest of times right now, commit later on today to just doing 2 minutes of something positive. That could just be washing up the mug in the sink, but always do something positive. Have structure and stick to it, but make them small.
Yes.
Don't set big goals.
Yeah.
I mean, my big goal is to eventually be bought out by Calm, because I'll be a thorn in their side. I'll be taking from their market and they don't want it. So if you're listening, mate,
hope you get there.
Yeah.
Be a great story, get you back in then.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'll get there. Because
why not?
I always achieve at the goals I set.
Mm. Love that mindset. Yeah. probably pretty obvious where people can find you, but you might want to reiterate it at the end of the show.
Everyone, Calming Anxiety. It's on Spotify. It's the app. It's a website. Although it's calminganxiety.net, I've got to haggle over the .com domain. Damn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Easy to find you.
Easy to find. Just Google Martin Hewlett. I own the first three pages of Google. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for watching this episode of Screw It, Just Do It. Let me know what you thought of it in the comments below this video. Has this episode helped move you closer to where you want to be? All that I ask is that if you enjoyed this episode and that it's moved you closer to getting to where you want to be, that you share this episode so that it helps one other person do just the same. Just ask yourself what small action will move you forward to get you from where you are. Then screw it and just do it. Until next time.